Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
On the line,
gay and lesbian news and interviews
with Dean Beck.
Made in Melbourne for Australia and the world.
I'm with Dr. Dean Murphy, who's a research fellow at Curtin University's National Drug Research Institute. He's just returned from the Contemporary Drug Conference in Portugal. He presented a paper over there which talks about the intersection of crystal meth, Viagra and antiretrovirals, or in this case, we'll talk about PrEP. But Dean, first, let's talk about Portugal. They've got a very unique approach to drug and they transformed it from being a legal issue to more of a health and well-being issue. Tell us how that's going for them.
Well, the new law, which I understand was passed in around 2009, essentially decriminalised possession of drugs. And so if people have less than a 10-day supply of drugs, they're not prosecuted. That means trafficking is still an offence, but possessing drugs, you know, with a reasonable supply is not. And that's a radical kind of proposal if you think of most jurisdictions around the world. It was a bold step.
They thought that it was going to open the floodgates to a whole sort of drug tourism trade throughout Portugal. That just hasn't happened, has it?
No, as far as I understand, it hasn't happened at all. And there are other outcomes that have been positive and have disproven the alleged outcomes of such a policy change, like that drug use would increase. You know, apparently, from what I understand in recent reports, drug use hasn't increased. The proportion of people using drugs hasn't increased. The age at which people start using drugs hasn't decreased, which was another fear, of course. There's been decreases in crime and decreases in HIV infections, which...
And hepatitis C too, I believe.
Right, yes, that would be the case, yeah, because the Hep C epidemic is obviously driven by injecting drug use primarily, and the HIV epidemic in Portugal is also predominantly driven by injecting drug use, which makes it different from a place like Australia where it's not the kind of the main transmission routes.
And what it's meant is that there are more people accessing treatment, getting on treatment and actually getting off drugs quicker, and the system's managing that better. And as you said, a dramatic decrease in crime. It's overall a win-win for all people, isn't it?
Yeah, it does seem to be a win-win for everyone and a model we should all be taking much more serious note of. But, you know, I don't see many countries doing that, especially our own, and yeah, the United States, for example, with their strong line on drugs.
We've got a lot to learn. Now, you presented a paper over there that talked about how crystal meth and Viagra and antiretrovirals, whether that be treatment as prevention or whether that be PrEP in the form of Truvada, what role antiretrovirals play in drug use and the sex that gay men have. Talk to us about that and talk to us why something like Viagra and Crystal that go hand in hand with sex and drug use and the sex that gay men have, or seemingly so, perhaps we need to add another item to the picture.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to reconceptualise the way we think about different types of drugs. You mentioned the illicit drugs, which the predominant one of interest at the moment is crystal meth, and GHB is also commonly used by gay men. Viagra and other erection medications are used by about a fifth of men. They're implicated in narratives of condomless sex and, you know, increasing the risk of HIV transmission. On the other side of the approach that I'm taking, we have antiretrovirals, which are used obviously therapeutically for people living with HIV, but now, especially since 2011, there's been a much stronger emphasis on policy that using antiretrovirals for prevention, so the emphasis on treatment as prevention to sexual partners of people living with HIV. There's, you know, some large-scale clinical trials that have shown that to be very effective. And since 2010, the first PrEP study, pre-exposure prophylaxis study, came out showing that antiretrovirals also prevent acquisition of HIV among people at higher risk. So there's people having condomless sex, for example.
There's plenty of research to suggest that those that take Viagra and those that take Crystal have more sex. They're enabled, if you like, to have more sex more often by those drugs. You're suggesting that they would be prime candidates to, if they're negative, to go on PrEP to protect themselves from contracting HIV, because there's also evidence that if you have those drugs, you are more likely to get HIV.
Yeah, so antiretrovirals therefore create a potential solution to the problem of the other drugs, and also one of the earlier problems that was kind of raised in relation to antiretrovirals themselves, which was that optimism around treatments would change people's behaviour, because there wouldn't be, HIV was not a death sentence anymore. You need this terrible fear
to protect the community.
Yeah. Yeah. And it had a generational kind of narrative, like, yeah, these young people don't know what it was like, what it's really like to have HIV. And those kind of narratives have come and gone within the epidemic over the last decades, probably. Mm-hmm. So antiretrovirals for prevention are actually causing us to rethink how we think, rethink the way we conceptualise the other drugs as well.
They're not going to cure the issues that people have with taking Crystal. What you're saying is they're going to stop the onward prevalence of HIV and those who are taking those drugs from contracting HIV. This is not brain surgery, but it's a very new concept for us to get our heads around, to say, well, if you're going to take Crystal, or if we accept that people take Crystal and that they take Viagra and that they have a lot of sex because that's what they're doing, we really should be informing them about the benefits of going on to PrEP.
Yeah, absolutely. And our HIV surveillance figures don't show a dramatic decrease yet in HIV infections, even though we have this very bold goal to end the epidemic by 2020.
And yet there's increasing evidence to suggest that new infections, who are contracting HIV, Crystal has played a part, and more and more data is suggesting that Crystal has played a part in new infections. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, especially in conjunction with the erection medications like Viagra. The cohort study done in Sydney a few years ago now said that was a really strong association with becoming HIV positive.
So what's the challenge now for agencies like the Victorian AIDS Council or ACON? PrEP is not available by TGA or on the PBS. You can get it by jumping through some hoops. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult message for them to communicate when it's not something you just turn up to your doctor and, you know, go home with it that day.
Yeah, it is a difficult message, and one that I don't think has been used before, except maybe in the early days of HIV treatments. There was buyers clubs, for example, importing antiretrovirals. It's a similar model. Our Therapeutic Goods Administration allows people to import drugs for personal use up to 3 months' supply at a time. It is an interesting project, I suppose, because people are also taking medicine into their own hands in some ways, in terms of accessing drugs by importing them, similarly to the way that people have been importing cheap Viagra and so on, generic Viagra, for some time. It's the same kind of principle, but for a different drug that normally medicine would have a strong control over. its access to it. So it's causing some concern among people in medicine, I suppose, that people won't do it correctly, won't do it in conjunction with their medical provider, will go rogue, as they say. But it's the way the current access conundrum is forcing people to go, I suppose, unless, you know, they could afford to pay for the true price of Truvada in Australia, which is about $1,000.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, isn't it? It's a lot of money. Well, Dr. Dean Murphy, your research has continued to inform and challenge many of us over the years. May you continue to do it and keep the good work. Thank you very much for joining us on Joy.
Thanks, Dean.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.